The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
Welcome to Mr. vs. Mrs. LaGrasso vs. LaGrasso right here on Vince Russo's The Brand and Big Vito Brand Audio. I'm the Mrs. part, I'm Noelle. He's the Mr. part, he's Big Vito. And as you can see, we are not together right now. Vito.
Yeah, things happen in a relationship, people, and you know how it is. And, you know, we are going to do this for the brand and stay together to do the broadcast and, you know, bear with us through everything. You know, we're going to get through this little bit of separation, but it could be, you know, 6 months, 7 months, but we're working on it. And just for the Vince Russo brand, we're going to keep it together. Hope everybody's having a great day out there. It's raining here in sunny Florida, but it happens.
It must be complicated relationship status.
Yes, and changing it today on Facebook, complicated.
Now, I think we're fine. Guys, I'm just away seeing my family until May. I had to go home, visit my mom, dad, nephews, grandmother, cousins, sisters, mother's roommate's boyfriend. So I'm here visiting the entire town.
Really? You have to see your boyfriend. Nice.
No, mother's cousin's roommate's boyfriend, not my boyfriend. I have a boyfriend. His name's Vito.
No, it's complicated. Let's keep it at that, brother.
You miss me. Don't lie. I'm going to adjust my thing here just to scooch, keep that light out of there. I'm actually sitting on my great-grandmother's antique chair to do this podcast. Aren't I classy today?
Very classy.
Very classy. I love this chair. So, Vito, how is it there without me? What's going on? Like, what are you doing?
Everything is going fabulous. You know, the house is clean. Laundry is done. Everything is picked up. Did a little shopping. Went to Old Town this week. You know, stayed out, you know, doing the hip hop club thing. You know what I'm saying, baby? And went to the gym. Did a little pool in. And some softball happened. And then, you know, this morning is up early. You know, did my thing, had my breakfast, my egg whites, went to the gym, got my pump on, and then came home to do this wonderful podcast with this complicated subject and situation so then I can go on with my day.
Well, I have been here petting all of the animals. I went to the rescue zoo in at Plumberton Zoo, I think that's what it's called. I pet every animal they had, llamas, donkeys, piggies, everything they had. I saw the bears. I saw the tigers. They have tigers you can get up close to, Vito. You would have loved it. They have giraffes.
Hey, do they? When you go to these places, right, Do they make you sanitize your hands before and after the animals? I'm not being silly, but is it required or they just, you know, go as you go?
They have sanitation stations next to each place you could pet the animals. So there's hand sanitizer and paper towels and stuff everywhere you go, but like the animals are all kind of close together, so they're all like really exposed to each other because it's a rescue. It's not like Philly Zoo with the big enclosures. These are animals that needed rescues, like they were injured and can't go in the wild, or somebody purchased a wild animal and couldn't take care of it. So they take care of it and they have these big enclosures, but you can get very, very close to the animals. And they have everything, foxes, owls, all kinds of really neat stuff.
Well, the thing I want to know is, are animals susceptible to COVID-19?
Well, they have had animals test, not at this zoo, but like in New York and Philadelphia, they have had certain animals test positive for COVID. The orangutan, I think it was orangutan or an ape, because they're very close to us mammal-wise. And they've had tigers. But they do make you use the hand sanitation stations. They have them set up near everything. And, you know, but you go and you feed all the little animals. And I love the Sicilian donkeys. Our nephew asked if they were related to you because they're from Sicily.
No, that's fine. They're probably from your neck of the woods, you know, being Amish and everything.
I'm not Amish. They're Sicilian. They're Italian Dominic the Donkeys. Those donkeys are from Sicily. It's great, right? No, so I pet all the animals. I went to some great food places, had some great drinks. I've been having a good time here in Pennsylvania. I've got a dinner date tomorrow with some of our favorites. I got a few dinner dates coming up, so I'm gonna see South Philly Mean.
That's awesome. I think it's great that you're home with your family. Have a good time. Stay as long as you want, a month, 3 months, 4 months, everything.
I'll be helping May. Don't get too comfortable. Don't move my stuff around either. I'll be home in May. Touch my shit. Just for those of you who are wondering, I did bring my baby Yoda home. I was afraid Vito would get rid of him if I left him behind. So he is here in Pennsylvania with me, because Vito hates Baby Yoda. Our podcast listeners call him Broda, like bro.
It happens. But anyway, I know you've been keeping up with things. And just on a medical note, guys, medical. Honey, you know that tooth I had a problem with that I had replaced, capped, and all this work done over the past 25, 30 years?
Yes.
Came out today.
Your tooth fell out? You didn't tell me your tooth came out?
Guys, I spent $400 for a cap.
I know. We just got that done 2 years ago. We had the cap. And it fell completely. So now you have no tooth.
I got it in alcohol.
You're supposed to put it in milk. Stick it in the creamer. If you put it in creamer, they can put it back.
I know. I will do. Now that I noticed, I put it in alcohol because I didn't know what to do with it. So I don't know if they'll be able to put it back, but it's a $400 tooth.
Show me. Can you show me?
Not right now, babe, but you know.
I can't believe you. You said on a medical note, and I'm thinking, what are you going to have, breaking news? Yeah, breaking teeth. I can't believe your tooth came out. And I need a tooth fixed. I broke my tooth. We're a mess.
I don't know. But it's just, anyway.
Breaking medical news. Big Vito lost a tooth.
Happens.
I can't believe it. You knew it was going to come out.
Yeah, but it wasn't like it was like, you know, I was eating anything bad or I was like, you know, doing something. And it just.
I think it was a bad cap on that tooth.
Maybe.
I think it was a bad cap. Well, you know, the dentist now.
Not a big deal. But on another note, I'm healthy. I'm leaning out even more. My diet has been good. I could see on today's screen, my face looks very good, very lean. So I'm happy about that. This jacket is starting to get a little big. So.
Well, think of it this way. You're a few ounces lighter because you don't have a tooth.
Nah, I wouldn't say that much, but, you know, but with all the exercise and all the stuff I'm doing, you know, hopefully within another month we have a big announcement to make here on the Big Vito brand, so it'll be good. All this hard work will pay off.
So, Vito, I have a good topic for us this week.
Why don't you go ahead and tell us about it?
I'm home where all my wrestling stuff lives. So it kind of got an idea, and I've been on kind of a roll watching a certain person I'm going to talk about, wrestle, who I haven't really been on a roll with lately. I want to talk about who is the greatest intercontinental champion of all time. And I'm going to surprise people because they're going to think I'm going to pick somebody I'm not going to pick. I have a favorite intercontinental champion. I'm sure you have your favorite intercontinental champion. So that's going to be the debate today. Whose pick is better? And we want to know who you guys pick, but I have to do something that I haven't done because I've had some internet issues. I want to say who won our last vote, which is the favorite WrestleMania match. So give me just a minute. I'm going to pull that up. And I apologize because I've been traveling around, so I haven't had a chance to look. So, Vito, why don't you, fill in the people of some other things?
Well, if everybody doesn't know, we launched our we have a sponsor. It's Goomba Sauce. And Goomba Sauce, you know, comes out of Pennsylvania. Somebody I met, his name is Mike, and he has done a fabulous job with this sauce. comes in a salsa and also comes in a tomato sauce. Very good. We do it at our parties. We've been sharing it with people. Everybody's been loving it. Guys, give Goomba Sauce a follow on Twitter. It's Saucefella, you know, or hit us up and we'll give you the address and you'll see it. He is one of our sponsors.
You can order it on a lot of our friends have been doing. So if you go to thesaucefella.com, you'll be able to order it online. And they have delicious salsa. It's really good. It's just like grandma made. So go check that out at thesaucefella.com. Vito, you beat me in the WrestleMania match. You squeaked out with Hogan versus Rock at 56.7% to my Macho Man Ultimate Warrior at 43.3%. And a lot of people, they love the storytelling of the Macho Man Warrior match, but they think a turning point in wrestling was Hulk Hogan and Rock. So you squeaked that out, and we want to thank everybody. John Mark was on here, and we have a lot of people that follow us. We got a lot of votes. People said old school. They loved the vote. So this week we're doing Intercontinental Championship. So Vito, you won a vote for the first time in months.
Thank you very much, guys. It's awesome. But I mean, when you really think about wrestling, you know, I've been in the wrestling business for a very long time, and I've got to see about from the early 70s, 80s, 90s, and the progression, because I've lived through some of it and I've actually participated through some of it. And when you get to be with those guys and you see how wrestling has evolved today, you know, when you see a moment like that, like I was there when Bruno and Sabisco went at it, and that was like the ultimate, how could you betray Bruno, you know? And then when you talk about, you know, you go through the 70s and you talk about, you know, Pedro Morales or Stan the Man Stasiak, you know what I mean? And you talk about some of the old guys like a George Steele, the Macho Man. You have guys coming up through that time, Ricky Steamboat, you know, and there's a lot of history in wrestling, but when you come up with somebody like The Rock, who was the next Hogan, and he actually gets to wrestle the man, I'm not saying I'm in that category by no means, but when you have an up-and-comer in the hardcore division like Big Vito taking on Terry Funk, I mean, it was kind of like a passing of the torch. Now, we also had a listing on Sportskeeda of the top 10 greatest hardcore champs in WCW history. Now, I have to disagree with people before me.
I knew you were going to say that.
Do you know offhand who were the six previous? Do you know offhand?
I know our friend Crowbar was number five.
And I beat the shit out of that son of a bitch. And
oh, come on. You love Crowbar. He's our friend.
He's our friend, but when it came to business, I whooped his ass.
Oh, God. So Vito made number seven in the sports.
Guys, want to hear the funniest story?
Sportster, wasn't it?
Crowbar had won the hardcore title, right? And now it's his first opponent, I think. And he thought he had to be this tough guy. And first time I hit him, he didn't sell. Everybody in the back goes, okay, it's on. I kicked the shit out of him for the next 10 minutes of the match. Went back to the back. First, Bam Bam Bigelow came up to me and says, Vito, I would have did the same thing. He says, but if that motherfucker thinks he ain't going to sell for me, watch when I wrestle him next week. I'm going to hit him with a chair shot that'll light your socks off. He hit him with a chair shot. Almost crippled him, right? Terry Taylor was the head of talent relations, and he was the guy back then. So Terry Taylor comes up to me after. He says, Vito, you come over here for a second. So what do I do now? He says, Crowbar came up to me. I says, yeah. He says he told me he got his ass kicked tonight. I says, well, if he would have sold something, I mean, maybe he wouldn't have been that bad. He goes, you're right. But he just came up to me with a long face. And, you know, being that I am friends with him, But I thought it was a funny segment because you don't try to beat up your friends, but that guy needed that beat down. Once he didn't sell for me, that was it. I mean, here I am with Terry Funk, probably the greatest hardcore champion of all time. And nobody beats you. Talk about the likes of, you know, Ric Flair, a Dusty Rhodes, guys of Ricky Steamboat, guys who have had greater careers and more input in the wrestling business than Vito LaGrasso. But here comes Vito LaGrasso making a statement and beating the man. And then you don't want to sell for me? Well, you'll sell for me. I'm the glorious.
Sold in the end. He sold in the end.
Yeah, he did. But, you know, everybody needs a wrestling lesson every now and then. And I just think the rankings could have been, honestly, truly, when you look at the, who was number one? I was curious. I didn't really go through the list.
I didn't go through it, but I think it was Terry Funk.
If Terry Funk is number one and you beat number one, that means you should definitely be number two.
We'll have to take a closer look at the list, Vito.
I want everybody out there to go take a look at the list and give us your thoughts on it. Because, like, if Terry Funk was number one and nobody in the top 10 beat Terry Funk, how do I rank in with number seven?
It was the Sportster was who had the, you said Sportskeeda, but it was the Sportster that had the article. Right. So go check that article out. Vito is number seven on the top 10 WCW hardcore champions of all time. Number seven. And Crowbar's number five.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing. But hey, listen, you know, no animosity. It's all good. You know what I mean? Just to be in the top 10 is pretty awesome. And, you know, when you have a career like I have, and you got to enjoy every company, get to work everywhere in the world, make a statement, wrestle with the best, pin the best. Now, you talk about Terry Funk, you talk about Mazawa, you talk about me being in the ring with the greatest of all time, wrestling these guys one-on-one on their level, or maybe my level. But it was always an equal level. But, like, never to be embarrassed. Every time I was given the ball, I always carried it. It was a great honor to be in the ring with these guys, and I'm definitely appreciative of being mentioned in the Sportskeeda top 10. Thank you very much. The Sportster, the Holster, and the Skullster, the Sportster.
You know, we got to get on topic here. We trailed way off. But
we had good conversation.
We did. It was banter. Everybody said we need more banter. We had good.
So we just had some economically good sound banter where, you know, we're having
economically sound banter. I love it. All right, here's the topic. What is the greatest intercontinental champion of all time? Now, I usually tell you to go first because I usually win. I lost, so I get to go first today. So my choice for favorite intercontinental champion of all time is Mr. Perfect Curt Hennig. I think Mr. Perfect was a well-rounded champion. He was AWA heavyweight champion in 1987. He came over to WWE and feuded with Hulk Hogan. I always thought that he should have had a world title run, but Hogan and some of the bigger guys kind of crowded the 80s and early 90s as far as the heavyweight title was concerned. I think one of the best matches of all time was Mr. Perfect versus Bret Hart at SummerSlam 1991. I think that was a great match. He took some time off, but he had a lot of different varied opponents. He had a lot of like micro feuds with like Kerry Von Erich, and you know, he wrestled Tito Santana. So he wrestled other intercontinental champions. But even Hulk Hogan said, if you came in the building and Curt Hennig was there, you were not the best wrestler of the night. You couldn't outwork him. You couldn't out-wrestle him. He was literally the best guy in the building. So I think Curt Hennig with the character, Mr. Perfect had Bobby Heenan as his manager. He was probably the greatest intercontinental champion of all time. And I know everybody's going, Noel, you're not saying Randy Savage. Love Randy Savage. His title reign was good, but it was no Mr. Perfect. That was some of the best matches in WWE at that time. All right, Vito, who are you going with? I'm waiting with bated breath. Who do you got for me?
Well, you know, you made a good choice in Mr. Perfect because I happened to be there in the 90s when he should have gotten the title. So I was privy to some inside scoops. And the biggest inside scoop was Hogan didn't want to give up the title. So
I think you had to be there to be privy to that one, huh?
Yeah, I was privy to that. And, yeah. You know, when everything is perfect and you have the gimmick, and he had it going on so good. I mean, it was something to witness. It was something to be in the building with. I even became friends with Kurt Hennig. And it was definitely an honor to be on the same card with him, but then be friends with him, you know, was pretty cool. And but a guy to take you back during one of those times, one of those heated moments in Big Vito's career where he was going to kick the shit out of somebody. Vito, I wouldn't have took that shit either. I said, follow me, motherfucker, we going.
Was that in the XWF? Roddy Piper was there for that too. Why don't you tell the guys that story before you get to your favorite Intercontinental Champion?
Well, I had come in from WCW. I had just had which was our first tour. And there was a wrestler there who was a friend of Brian Knobbs and Sags and the boys. I never heard of him. I never saw him. So he used to be in charge of the good times.
That's a friendly way of putting it.
And they were going to have me do, you know, put him over. And I said, who is this guy? I mean, he was a big 300-pound monster, right? So in the match, he's trying to beat me down and not sell anything. I roll out. I roll in. I roll out. I roll in. The third time, I disqualified myself. I hit the referee. I hit him in the balls not once but twice. Storm out of the ring. I go back downstairs. Kurt is right there. He said, Vito, I saw the whole thing. What the fuck happened? I'm going to kick the shit out of this motherfucker. I kicked this aluminum chair up to the ceiling. That's how hot I was. And this is no lie. This is a true story. I marched downstairs. The guy comes back. There's Roddy Piper and Greg Valentine and Mr. Perfect and Knobs and Sags. And I forget who else. And I said, motherfucker, you don't sell for me. Who the fuck do you think you want to kick the fucking shit out of you right here? They all knew I was Johnny Rods' boy. And I said, Vito, no. Hold on. So the guy looked at me like, what the fuck? So I was so angry. They had a big thing the next day where Roddy Piper and Greg Valentine came up, you know, and I'm boys with these guys and they respected me because of all the things I've accomplished. You know, Vito, we've all been there, especially Roddy. You know, Vito, I definitely understand where you're coming from and watching that match. I've been in your shoes. I said, Roddy, I said, this mother, he says, all right, let's work it out today. The finish of the match with the powerbomb, and being this guy was green and powerful and 300 pounds, I don't think I was going to survive it. I don't think I would have lasted because he was going to slam me through the building. And the way he was hitting me, he was thumping me. Like, it was like pound time.
Do you remember who the person was?
Yeah. Let me finish. After I talked to him, he apologizes to me. He says, Vito, he says, I apologize. He says, that's the way I was taught. Nobody ever taught me about respect and all the other things. I've been wrestling for 4 years. I didn't know. I said, okay, no problem. Apology accepted. We went out the next night. We had match of the night. I blew everybody out of the building. Come back. Everybody shakes my – Vito – that was a hell of a match. I carried this guy. I worked him. I took his powerbomb. I said a Hail Mary full of grace as I was coming down. But afterwards, I became friends with this gentleman, still friends with him today. and everything was peaceful. But sometimes you got to get to here before you get to here. And my temper was up to here. And people knew once I was at that level, we're good.
Who was it?
I don't want to say.
Say it.
Nah, just leave it alone.
You can't.
He probably watched. He's a friend of mine today. I don't want to disclose it, but I'm happy that we got it all straightened out. And the people, here's the important thing. The people who were involved who took the time, a Greg Valentine, a Roddy Piper, right? The Nasty Boys. And there was somebody else, I can't remember, Mr. Perfect. Kurt Hennig actually came to the workout. And these guys work with him. He says, what was the problem? I said, this was the problem. I said, this is what happened. And then he explained. He says, that's all. They only told me how to do this. I says, okay. I said, let's work it out. We worked it out. Wound up having the best match of the night in front of 15,000 people.
Well,
so kudos to those veterans who had the respect for me because I earned it and the friendship to help rectify the situation. And I'm very proud of that. But if you twisted my balls back then.
What are you talking about? If you twist your balls now, you do the same thing. Vito, give me your favorite Intercontinental Champion.
Well, you picked a good one in Mr. Perfect, and I think that was an excellent choice.
Thank you.
And there were a lot of great Intercontinental Champions. You had Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. You had the Macho Man. Talking that era, Bret Hart, which was a great one. And I actually wrestled Bret Hart during his, that was his first match as an Intercontinental Champion. But when you talk about the greatest, I think I have to go with the Honky Tonk Man because he had the undefeated streak. He was the greatest of all time. Now, and there's somebody who was ultra over, and he could have had a championship run. But politics of being privy to information, Hogan didn't want to give up. So, but when you talk about the greatest wrestlers and gimmicks, the Honky Tonk Man, head and shoulders, had it all. He had charisma. He had the look. He had the gimmick. He had it all. I mean, who else could pull it off, right? Many people after him have tried. Jeff Jarrett tried to do the same gimmick. Jeff Jarrett was over, but he was no Honky Tonk.
Right. Honky Tonk Man spent 5 years with the Intercontinental Championship.
So you're talking about, you know, your guy Kurt Hennig against the Honky Tonk Man. Wrestling-wise, I'm saying this, wrestling-wise, wrestling 101, Mr. Perfect, because he was a wrestler, came up through a family. But what people don't know is that the Honky Tonk Man and Jerry Lawler are related.
Cousins.
So you talk about second generation wrestlers going at it, and you're talking about Mr. Perfect being the greatest at what he did, and the Honky Tonk Man and his did. That's a 50-50, guys. Good luck with your debate. Good luck, Noel. I hope you come out victorious. But I think this should be a 51-49 debate. And I even think some people are in the middle. So for the people out there, let's do something different this week. Okay, Noel, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
We're going to have Noel, Mr. Perfect. We're going to have Big Vito with the Honky Tonk Man. And then we're going to have the 50-50 in the middle. So we're going to have three choices this week. Can we do that?
We can. So you want to do undecided because they're both so good.
Yes.
Noel, Mr. Perfect, Big Vito, Honky Tonk Man.
That's how we should do it because I think it's unfair to go with one or the other because at their times, they were that close to being world champion. But Hulk Hogan was the man. You weren't going nowhere with Hogan.
Hulk Hogan held on to that belt with his wife.
Hulk Hogan held on to that belt better than Big Vito held on to the hardcore title during his matches because it never came off his waist. I knew I'd better wear it as long as I could.
I remember one time we sat and we were watching matches and we were trying to see how long it would take for the belt to fall off you. Do you remember that? Because you wouldn't remove it. So you and I were watching the matches through seeing how long you could keep the belt on. It's like, how many licks do you get to the center of the Tootsie Roll Pop? You held that thing up forever, which is always really funny to watch. I love things in wrestling that are almost considered like Easter eggs, you know, like how long you can hold on to the belt while wrestling is one of those things where it's an inside rib. But if you know about it, now you guys can go back and watch WCW when Vito's champion and you guys can see how long he's purposefully trying to hold the belt around his waist before he has to take it off. I want to count if somebody figures it out how long.
One of the greatest people who I became friends with and was a mentor to me was Bobby the Brain Heenan. And he always told me one time, it only took one time for him to tell me, Vito, why do you have that belt on your shoulder? I said, well, everybody says, Vito, belt belongs around your waist. Do you know why? You always have to keep your hands free for a fight. I snapped that thing up. Every time, every snap, everything, because he was right. And I never forgot that. And it always took a mentor or a veteran like that to come to me one time and tell me something. I soaked it up like a sponge. I wish wrestling would go back to that, because if guys would listen to the veterans from before, wrestling would go back to being great again.
You know, that's an amazing Bobby Heenan analogy, because you were a brawler, a fighter. You would not have something in your hands unless it was some type of like brass knuckles or something to fight. So that makes 100% sense. If people go back, there's a great Bobby Heenan shoot interview before he got right before he got diagnosed with cancer. And he talks about trying to mentor people like towards the end of WCW and how people were starting to not listen in the business and, you know, and that's going to be a problem for the future. He literally predicted that being an issue going forward back then. And that was what, 20 years ago? And like, he knew that that was going to be a problem. And then here we are. We have people that don't listen and then you get issues. But,
you know, when people, we talk about Bobby Heenan, he was wrestling and managing during the greatest time in our lives. He knew. He took the time because he liked me as a professional. From where I began, he knew my journey. He knew who trained me. He knew how I got there. He saw the hard work I put in. He took the time. And any veteran, I always say this and I thank every one of them every time. Thank you for teaching me to be a pro. Because if it wasn't for you guys, I would never have been ready to be a main event champion in WCW. If it wasn't for the guys before me, the guys in early WWF, Sammy Domingo with Jack Veneno, who just passed away, Carlos Colon in, you know, WCW, WWC in Puerto Rico, right? Jerry Lawler in Memphis, Tennessee, right? The Johnny Rods era during the independence, okay? And then you talk about going to Japan and wrestling in Japan with Misawa and Baba, and then getting my chance with Paul Heyman in ECW. So you talk about being in front of big crowds at a very young time, but people tutoring me. Bret Hart was very instrumental back then. The Honky Tonk Man, Jimmy Snuka, Nikolai Volkoff, SD Jones, Jimmy Powers, Sergeant Slaughter, Bill Eady. These guys took it. Cousin Luke, these guys, the Cheetah Kid, Ted Petty, took an interest in Vito LaGrasso, even George the Animal Seal. Vito, come over here. Yes, sir. Said, Vito, see you on these goddamn independents. Why isn't Vince booking you? I said, I don't know. I've tried. Give me a goddamn shit. Because you always had 8x10s and a resume in your bag. You never went home without it. take this and deliver it myself.
That's the way it used to be back in the day. It's different now. It's not the same anymore. It's not the same anymore.
And Noelle Harlow, my wife, can vouch for this. When it came time for me to help any young wrestler out there, I always made a phone call. I always helped the guy. I changed a lot of minds in wrestling because I made it easy for them to learn. And that is the truth, not a bullshit.
It is true. All right, Vito. So that's it. We've got Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig, Noel Vote, Big Vito saying Honky Tonk Man. And then we're going to give you guys a chance to vote yourself for undecided. Are you between the two? Do you have somebody else you want to throw in there like a Ricky Steamboat, a Roddy Piper, Randy Savage? Let us know. Get at me on Twitter. You got 5 days to vote. I am at Magic Capital T Spiller. I also apologize. This is a little delayed because I have been traveling. So we had to film on Monday. But you're still going to get the full 5 days to vote. And then we'll come back and we'll tell you a winner. Also, don't forget, guys, we've got a Patreon, and Patreon is about to blow up. We're going to be making some big changes to Patreon. Come on and sing karaoke with Big Vito. He's going to do some karaoke singing for you guys. We've got some other shows coming up, more wrestling shows. MOB, I think you're getting a new co-host on MOB. You may be getting two new co-hosts on MOB, so that's coming up. So, guys, check that out, patreon.com/TheBigVitoBrand. Also, Get in Color is live on Sundays, either at 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. on Twitch. You do not have to be a subscriber to see the show, but we appreciate your subscription. If you have Amazon Prime, it's for free. And you can catch our audio podcasts anywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts under The Big Vito Brand. Also, The Big Vito Brand on social media. Vito, would you like to say anything as you're living the single life there in Florida?
It's complicated. It's good. Take a couple months. You're good. B-I-G-V from the L-O-G's like, bye, baby, live. And we are clubbing, yo. Shopping. Okay. New clothes. New cologne. New fragrances. New bedding. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Okay, guys, I'll be here in Pennsylvania running around trying to see everybody. I've got a list of people that messaged me this morning to hang out. I'm trying to get to everybody if you're watching. So, guys, thank you again for joining us here on the Russo Brand, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I feel like Big Vito. Big Vito. Yeah, I feel like Big Vito. Big Vito. Yeah, you like Big Vito. Yeah, yeah. I said, I'm up next like I got the call from Vito. We not some average Joe, stay escaping from Leo's. So call me Big Vito, I got a kick like a shoddy. And like Ciroc, you're taking hard shots to the body. They had you in a dress, but you were still styling. And if they talk crap, hit them with the code of silence. Told these haters, get off me, your style stays sloppy. Tricking out the rides, I got an iced out jalopy. Cut you off no matter how thin, like salami. So many shots headed towards me, it gotta be a Tommy. Speaking of mafia things, I call it Don Donnie. So you about to go to sleep, call me Hideo with Tommy. With the GTS, I bet you haven't seen me yet, you seeing stars. I smoked you like a Vito cigar. You're not messing with the squad, especially on the pod. It's no whole bars like this, no DQ.com.